AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With over 13,000 pictures taken, what Joseph A. Market found in these pictures was astonishing. Welcome to Ghosts in a Valley. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I'm very excited to have Joseph A. Market, photographer and author, on the show today. Joseph will have a new book coming out pretty soon, and with these over 13,000 photos he's taken, a lot of these photos will be in the book. And before we get to Joseph, I want to do a shout out to a few people that have left comments on my iTunes page. Katie, over at Weird on the Rocks podcast, Myra podcast, and also Roman Prokopchek. Thank you very much for your comments on iTunes. I don't give out shout outs that much, and I do apologize. I have a lot of comments from Twitter and Facebook and Gmail, and so I do apologize for that. I do want to start acknowledging people who acknowledge me and also that are loyal followers. So thank you to all my followers.
I'm Aaron Mankey, creator and host of Unobscured, a podcast series that explores some of the darkest, most misunderstood moments in history. Season one was a deep dive into the Salem witch trials. In this season of Unobscured, we'll trace the path of the spiritualist who followed the voice of Andrew Jackson Davis. Over the course of the 19th century, spiritualism became a kaleidoscope of novel beliefs, courageous people, and world-shaking events. Here's historian Molly McGarry.
There were always many spiritualisms, both in the 19th century and beyond. So some people came to the seance tables seeking answers, wanting deeply to commune with lost loved ones. Others were curious investigators, looking to see for themselves what this new technology could materialize. But what I found and what I've been most struck by is that many spiritualists took seriously the possibility of channeling the voices of the dead as a means of both connecting with the past and imagining both worldly and otherworldly futures.
New episodes of Unobscured will air on Wednesdays beginning October 2nd. Listen to Unobscured on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm excited today to have Joseph A. Market on the Ghost in the Valley podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Good to talk to you, Al.
And he is a paranormal photographer / soon to be author. You're putting these photos in a book, right?
Yes, that is correct. It's going to be a book series with lots of photos and great information and some history involved.
Now, I was just asking Joe before the recording is how many photos he has taken over the years, and it was astounding.
Yes, total altogether photos over the course of the years for the book is approximately 13,000, around that number. And out of the 13,000, the ones that are going to be acceptable for the book are probably around 500. And then when you narrow it down to the cream of the crop, the class AAA photos, paranormal, the elites, are probably, I'd say, 250 pictures.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Yes.
And then you have to pick which ones you want to go in the book, you know?
Yes. Everything kind of fits in order a little bit. I'm trying to keep everything except the first book that is out of order. It's kind of like a prequel book, But yes, everything else, book two on, I would say book two through six will be exactly in order. But the first book will go ahead and set the stage for the amazing story that everyone's going to read.
And I will post later on social media sites when the book will be ready. And we will have you back on for a part two interview after the first of the year.
Thank you. Yes, everyone, that's going to be the mind-blowing one, because at this moment in time, I'm unable to discuss what happened back in June, but it is unbelievable, but 100% true. And yes, I'm aiming for next year in 2020 for the first book to be out officially, and then we'll go from there with the book series.
Now, are you just a photographer, or what got you into the paranormal?
Actually, it started out as accidental, and then it became a part-time hobby on the side, just something I like to do. They got interesting. I didn't really know what to do with it so much in the beginning. The interesting part is that my mom got so mad at me when all this started. She wanted me to throw away all the pictures and burn all the SD cards. But eventually she came around to realizing that I had something special going on. And she's actually working on her own book at this moment as we speak. So it's kind of amazing what happened. But yes, I'm shooting for the first book to be out in 2020. Hopefully as soon as possible. Hopefully the first part of the year, but we'll see what happens.
I can't wait till it comes out. I'll be one of the first ones to get it.
Oh, thank you, sir. You will. You'll have one of the first interviews.
I will say this. You are my first paranormal photographer on the show.
Oh, thank you. Yes, interesting story, side note. I had never set out to do any of this before all this ever happened. I would say I was a mild skeptic. I loved ghost stories growing up as a kid. Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, we all did campfire ghost stories. But I was kind of a mild skeptic. You know, I wasn't really into the whole ghost hunting stuff, if you could call it at the time. But I started to really believe. And I guess that makes the most ironic part is I was a mild skeptic. And look what happened to me. I got really into some really good stuff with ghost photography. But I will say, in my opinion, what I call ghost photography means the simplest form, just a simple camera and a digital recorder. But I do prefer the mini micro cassette tape recorder because I'm more of an old school type of guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so you basically got into paranormal kind of accidentally?
Yes, accidentally. And I will say that this moment is going to change after the found footage that I had mentioned before, what happened back in June. But at this moment, I will stick with the original plot, which was true at the time, but things that happened that changed. But yes, I was just, paranormal photography, in my opinion, is just the camera, a simple camera, and a tape recorder. Like I said, it could be digital or micro cassette. I prefer the micro cassette because I think it picks up better with the magnetic strip, but to each is their own. And whatever works best is how I think it should go.
The next photos that Joe's going to talk about, you can find at Twitter, hashtag LibsCandyStoreCoffin. You can find all the hashtags at the bottom of this episode. We'll start with the first photo. And it was the one that you took inside a candy store that was soon to be the Ford Center Arena.
That was formerly the Libs Candy Store. The Libs Candy Store was at that corner. It was the 601 Main Street address, and it was a staple downtown Evansville for decades. It had opened up, if I recall correctly, when I talked to one of the former owners of the building, it had opened up, in fact, on Thanksgiving Day, I believe 1953, and it was in business, and it survived actually through the pit downfalls and pitfalls of downtown Evansville while it was failing, and they hung in there until the better part of the 2000s. And that was, it was other places before the Libs Lips Candy Store. But yes, that place, if I had at the time planned on doing a book and properly been able to investigate it, the basement would have been a absolute overwhelming paranormal gold mine. But the only reason why I didn't investigate it, because me and my maintenance partner at the time when we worked downtown, we had the keys to the building because of our employer owned it. And when you would have went down the third step, approximately the third step is very loose and there was no electricity. So at the time we didn't bother to go downstairs, but that was before I did the book. And I'll tell you what, that would have been the ultimate paranormal gold mine jackpot. I wish I would have known everything now that I did then, but that's what makes it great. It's just, you know, it's raw footage. It's just how it was. And there's no fancy editing, no fancy photographers, no fancy film crew. It's just me, the camera, and how everything plays out.
And what are we looking at in that photo?
It is the hashtag on Twitter. It's called Libs Candy Store Coffin. And what you're going to be looking at in the picture, the first one, which looks like it's blurred, but when in reality it's not, it's called multi-interdimensional shifting, which means that there's all kinds of dimensions from different time periods shifting around in that picture. But the main thing people need to look at in that photo is the directly to the right standing up, you'll notice an old school looking coffin with a face peeking out. And then from there on the ground, it looks like a mummy. And then you'll notice it looks like chairs flying around, which that's how it is. The energy shifting and the dimensions coming together and shifting around. And keep in mind that that's also different time periods, different cultures. In fact, I would go out on a limb and say that's actually Egyptian type stuff. If you look, that looks like a mummy on the ground. And then if you'll notice, they're coming out of the ground and everything looks like it's blurred, but it's not. It's called shifting. All the dimension, the multi dimensions are shifting because what had happened, I had taken home some stuff because the company I work for had allowed us to take home whatever we wanted, but I found out the place was haunted. And keep in mind, I was a rookie at the time and things really scared me back then. So my plan was to take the stuff I had gotten and I would open up the door and threw it in and I snap two pictures. Well, what you're seeing, the blurred photo is not so blurred. That's the multi-interdimensional shifting photo. And then the one below it, you're going to see is how it looks normally. And in the one below it, picture number two, the normal photo, you'll see candy striped looking shirts. That's what I actually threw back in and then went snap, snap, two pictures. And luckily those got saved because in the beginning I had no idea what I was doing. I deleted a lot of good photos that we'll never see again because I had no idea what I was doing. I was a rookie. But that's what makes the book so great is that it's all in the raw. I didn't know what I was doing, and you're seeing me as I saw it. Those two pictures actually survived. I think I put those on a lock on the photos because in the beginning, I did not know what I was doing, and that's the worst part. I would give people one of the best pieces of advice I can give people doing ghost paranormal photography or ghost hunting. Never, ever delete anything until you know what you're looking for. Because there's probably 100 to 200 photos I deleted and we'll never know whatever happened. And that's one of the worst parts that I deleted stuff, but that's what also makes the book so great is that it's 100% amateur, but at the same time, so great and so professional.
Yeah, I think they'll be blown away by some of these photos.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Segment 2, The Ohio River Ghost. Twitter, hashtag Ohio River Ghost, and hashtag Giant Orb. The next one we're going to talk about is the Ohio River Ghost.
Oh, yes. The Hashtag Ohio River Ghost. Yes, you're 100% correct. Okay, that one was, if I could go ahead and release some of the pictures that went with it that night. Oh, wait a minute. I apologize. I had the date mixed up.
I have it on here. It's August 10th, 2013.
Yes, that is correct. I had it mixed up with another date in my head. I apologize. Okay, the Ohio River Ghost photo. What happened there, I went with a friend of mine to the Evansville Coliseum, and you're going to hear about this later in the interview, where the Indian burial grounds are. But we had tickets to go to the wrestling event that night. And what I did was that night, after I cut my leg and I showed up late, but what I did was that night, I grabbed the old house keys from the old haunted house we lived in. I grabbed them and put them in my pocket. And I was going to go ahead and had the attitude, part with the old and with the new. I was going to go ahead and say goodbye to my former life. So I had the house keys in my pocket, and my friend Raymond, we went down there, parked for a second by the river. I told him to hold on just a moment. So I got out of his truck, and I took those two keys, the old house keys we used to live at, and I threw them in the river as a goodbye to the old and with the new, because I had such high ambitions and hopes back then. At that point, I didn't know things were still going to get insane. But I threw them all in the river, and I just simply pulled my camera out. After I threw the keys of the river, I went snap, snap, snap with my camera. And lo and behold, that's what I caught. But one of the things you can tell in looking at that ghost photo is that look at the long strides and the footsteps. It's not one of those, if you're just going to hurry up and go to the end of a riverbank, if you pay attention how the ghost is walking, it's more long strides, like there's no end to the riverfront.
I've seen that. And also, there's an orb with a face on it.
Yes, that just happened. I guess that just happened to go with the game. I guess you could say that just was a bonus add-in. I will say this real quick as a side note. I don't know where that ghost came from, but if you look at the temperature I included with it, it was in August of that year. And the humidity and the temperature was slightly high. But if you notice, it looks like it's wearing, like, heavier clothes. Definitely not fit for the weather during that time of the year. And also, that if you look up at the top, if you look at a map of downtown Evansville, up toward the top, past the riverfront, more toward downtown, the first part of the block, of the riverfront, there was a former sanatorium there. So what leads me to believe that's a former client or person who was in the sanatorium. If you look at the clothing, it looks like cloth-like uniform. So I'm in the mindset, the belief that that is a former, that is a resident ghost of the in fact, it's called the Gilbert Sanatorium, which is now the present-day Hottie Shrine building, or it's where the Shriners had their current building at.
We are talking Evansville, Indiana.
Yes, Evansville, Indiana. And it is a, I want to go ahead and say first to everyone that Evansville, Indiana is a great city, and a great town. It just has a little bit of an interesting, dark past. But yes, I love it here. It's a great, I have a lot to say about the place with all the paranormal activity. But in all honesty, it's a great place to raise a family. People here are friendly. And it's a great place. This is not a knock against Evansville at all.
And you grew up in Evansville, right?
Oh, yes. Born and raised here. In fact, if you'd like a quick kind of a funny side note where everything might have started at with me, that when I was 3 years old, my mom was, we were out driving. I was in the passenger seat. It was like maybe closer to 4 or 5 years old. But off the top of my head, it was, we were turning the corner out by the cemetery. And I opened up the car door and rolled out and rode right into the outer edge of the cemetery.
Wow.
somehow I didn't get scratched, scraped.
Well, you've been taken care of.
Yes, I was taken care of even back then. So I think that has something to do with all this,
mm-hmm.
that I was picked or chosen for this.
I was going to bring that up that, you know, I talk to a lot of paranormal investigators that take cameras and audio and video equipment with them. And it's sometimes it's a rarity to get anything on camera, you know. And I've been doing it for years, and it's hard for me to get it on camera, you know.
Yeah, I was hitting hundreds at a time. I mean, if you go through and look, in fact, what I'm sharing with the public on your show, and I'd be more than happy to come back in and share lots more on the next level. But yes, it's very intriguing that I was almost like on the inside that somehow is able to capture stuff that nobody else could.
Section 3, Twitter, hashtag Jazzy and the Devil.
Next photo is going to be on Jazzy and the Devil. You want to explain that one?
Yes, Jazzy and the Devil. Wow, that one has so much in it.
And this was Christmas Day.
Christmas Day 2009. That one, it makes it even more, I don't know if you say ironic or devilish crazy. But yeah, for the fact the devil, when I put that title, I wouldn't say it's the devil, but I say it's more of a demon. But I did notice there was a lot in the meantime when I originally had named that picture. I was watching when I was in the hospital recovering from my hip replacement because of the car wreck that almost killed me back in 2015, the April month of 2015 when I had my hip replacement. I was watching one of the cable stations. I can't tell you which one it is off the top of my head at the moment, but I was watching one of the, it might have been History or Travel Channel, but they were talking about African-American artwork. And if you'll notice the picture of Jazzy and the Devil, the picture of that demon, that devil, if you look at it, it has big hoops on its ears. It has great big hoops for earrings. Whether it's earrings or not, I have no idea. But it has great big hoops on its ears. And I was watching that educational show on one of the cable stations, and they said that, quote unquote, this is their words, not mine, they said that the slaves used to wear big hoop earrings. And we had Irish slaves in Evansville at the time to help build the canals. More specifically, the Erie Canal that ran through Evansville, which is an entirely different story. But they had used Irish workers, which ironically, I did not know until this book, that there were black Irish slaves. So which leads me to believe that Jazzy and the Devil photo is a black, it goes back to the curse with the black Irish slaves. And by the way, with the Erie Canal, they dug through Evansville. They would give them wooden shovels, and you would be paid, seriously, not kidding. They would pay them in a jig of whiskey a day. For anybody who doesn't know what a jig is, from what I've read, a jig is an ounce of whiskey. And if they were lucky enough to get the entire jig, a lot of times the dirtbag people that were in charge, they would actually water down the ounce of whiskey, and that would be their payment for the day for digging the canal out with wooden shovels.
Yeah, times have changed.
Oh yeah, yes, definitely. It was beyond horrible. But yes, I did not know going into this book, one of the things I learned, that the slaves were not just necessarily as you would think, but the slaves that we imported for the canals, and they're slaves. It was terrible how they were treated. It was terrible. But the slaves that we imported for the specific purpose at the Erie Canal in Evansville were black Irish slaves. And also in that mix was included voodoo, there were a lot of voodoo practicing people in the mix too. So anyway, but yeah, it's very interesting. Real quick, I have one last comment to that last section. We still to this day in Evansville, Indiana, we still have a large, it's still celebrated like it's, yesterday, which is great. But we have a large population of German heritage in this town. But what's odd and intriguing and also possibly very sad is that all of our Irish, black Irish, white Irish, doesn't matter, the Irish population, disappeared at some point in time here in Evansville, Indiana. Just gone.
That's interesting. Segment 4. Twitter. Hashtag the giant mounds. Hashtag the Indian mounds. Hashtag the giant cover-up.
Let's go on to the soldiers and sailors memorial built over an Indian burial ground.
Okay, yes. The soldiers and sailors memorial coliseum is a beautiful building. However, it is built directly on top or right near the Native American Indian burial grounds. There is actually no true map for that area, but however, they found other evidence over the years of bodies buried there. Also, it was documented that Hugh McGarry Jr., the true founder of Evansville, that was where he had gave away to the city, well, what you would call the city of Evansville at the time, which wasn't much, but he had given away, actually it says in the historical documents, that he had divested himself of the 1 acre for the burial grounds of the first Evansville Cemetery, which they called the, at the time it was called the Old Pioneer Cemetery. And that is where the Indian, because Hugh McGarry Jr., his father, Hugh McGarry Sr., okay, they called him a, quote unquote, a fierce Indian warrior, which Hugh McGarry Jr., the son, had tried to overcome what his father had done to the Indians, the Native Americans. The Coliseum is built on top of a mixture of the old Indian burial grounds and the, as you could say, at the first cemetery for the whites. And you have to keep in mind back then that everything was segregated. So there's no official documents of what happened back then.
I said, that's interesting. Yeah, that it was built over top of Indian burial grounds.
Yes, it's kind of a mixture of two burial grounds. It is where the whites, because Hugh McGarry Jr. had explicitly said, and when I say junior, that's the son, because the father was not a great guy. But Hugh McGarry Jr. had taken that 1 acre of land and gave it away because he wanted a place for the whites and the Indians to lay in peace side by side forever.
Was it the senior that was settled there in 1812?
Junior. The son was the good guy. Yes, the son was the good guy who was trying to make amends for what his father had done to the Indians. Because there is a story, Hugh McGarry Sr., the father, had seen his son go into I can't remember the location, but his son had gone into a location to drink. I believe it was a tavern. And this Indian chief, I can't remember the guy's name at this moment, I apologize, but the Indian chief had come out of the tavern or saloon, whatever they called it, wearing his son's pants, and Hugh McGarry Sr. had flipped out and was enraged by what the Indian chief, and this was a high-powered Indian chief, and Hugh McGarry Sr. became enraged and took, quote-unquote, took a hatchet to the Indian chief and chopped him up into little pieces, his body, and fed it to the dogs in the street.
Yeah, I was looking on the online on Old Evansville burial grounds, and it says over 200 years of activity still going on to this day.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. Yes, it's all cursed still to this day. In fact, I'll tell you a good example of why it's still cursed. There is a photo at the bottom I just added at the bottom of that thread, that tweet thread. If you'll look, it's a black and white stencil.
That was the Indian mounds?
Yes, yes, you'll notice. In fact, I'm going to go as far as to say, because I have the proof, that is a giant mound. Also, the part about that photograph or drawing, that I've contacted everyone in the area, including the University of Southern Indiana, and no one can put a name to that stencil. It's a black and white stencil. And there's a lot to that picture that people don't realize. And what had got my attention was that it is a black and white stencil of the Erie Canal that runs through downtown. But you'll notice that great big Indian mound. It's almost I'm calling it as a giant mound, because we'll go into, in the next interview, we'll go into why it's a giant mound. But there is a painting up at the Erie Wabash Canal Society in Carroll County, Indiana, and the picture is exactly the same, except for one thing's missing, the Indian mound.
That's interesting.
They've actually actively worked to delete that part of the history.
Section 5. Twitter, hashtag Orb Storm, hashtag Signature School, hashtag Orb Storm Skull.
The next photo we're going to look at is the Signature School. The face is looking out of the windows. I did notice you had on this photo that you sent me, the left and the center photo of the images of what appears to be ghostly figures in the window. Excuse me, I see one on the right side, but you didn't have that circle. I just wonder if that was one too. It looks like in the top left corner of the third window over.
Okay, yeah.
That was an image.
Yeah, it's drawn. If it's circled, that's how it's supposed to match up, and that's the faces looking out. There should be two windows circled.
I see two windows circled, but I think there's another window where I see like a face, but it's not circled.
Okay, yeah, it probably is, because I've learned with my photos specifically that you can find something, I don't want to say a shadow figure or something like that initially, and then what you have to do is give it a little bit of time, and then before you know it, other stuff will materialize. So it is honestly, it's probably something that hadn't materialized yet that I caught. But you also notice in the bottom, I call it the Orb Storm Skull. It's the bright, it's a gold-looking skull on the front bumper of that truck. And why it's gold, I don't honestly know. I wish I could give the audience and your listeners an answer. But honestly, I don't know why it's gold. That's a very interesting question even to me.
Yeah, I see that the skull on that truck, that picture is going to be on there also. The skull with the skulls on it, and also the images, and also the truck with the front bumper has a skull on it.
Yes, yes, the gold. Yes, the gold, gold or brass. I think it's more gold. It's a very interesting question. I don't know why it would be gold, but I guess it's makes for a better book and better read. Maybe I'll have an answer here shortly, but at this time, I'm just going to leave
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm looking at it goldly, you know.
No. You're looking at it exactly correct. Yeah, it's a gold skull with a silver bumper. I don't know. Maybe silver, gold. I don't know. Maybe like a contrast. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe more will be revealed as time goes on for me, and I can give everybody an exact answer. But at this time, I don't know. It's just a gold skull.
Section 6. Twitter, hashtag the big black bird, hashtag the bearded doctor, hashtag the bearded doctor revisited.
The next picture up was the, and this is one I thought was very interesting, was the bearded doctor.
Oh, yes, yes. There's actually two incidents I caught the bearded doctor. Okay. The first one, I'll keep this as quick as I can. The first incident was the one where he's looking at my sister, and you'll see he's almost lurking and stalking back by that trash can in front of the Ford Center in the shadows. And you can see my sister, Brittany Hill, she's the one sitting on a little concrete perch. Yes, she's the one sitting on the perch. And the interpretation I got from her looking is that something caught her eye. And I asked her several times if she saw anything, and she had repeatedly told me no. So I left it at that. But I just have a feeling by looking at those photos that she had caught he caught her out of the corner of her eye. But that's just my impression. Now, the better part of all this gets to be the July 28th of 2013. And I had a feeling my sister saw him you could see her turn her head in the photo. And you could tell she says she didn't see nothing, because I asked her almost immediately after the photo shoot that night, and she said she didn't see nothing. But you could tell that something caught her eye. She may not remember it, but I just have a feeling that caught her attention. Now, where it gets interesting is fast forward to the evening of August 10th, 2014. And I had taken my sister. She wanted to go that night. And her boyfriend at the time, he wanted to go. I think she more or less wanted to take him with us. But my mom, and my sister. And we got down there. I remember very well making an offhand comment to my sister's boyfriend at the time. I said, I think the bearded doctor has a crush on my sister. He keeps an eye on her, watches her, stalks her. And sure enough, I was taking pictures that night, pure darkness. It was the light being sucked out of the photos. And sure enough, I kept taking pictures. And I knew I had something special at that moment, because how it was dark, but I could see some shadows in it. So I knew there was something big on that camera, until I got home that night. And luckily, I took a picture of everyone that was with us that night, excluding myself. And I took everybody's picture and just compared it. And it was no one here in the house in that picture. In fact, a quick side note, if you revisit that picture, directly behind the bearded doctor, as I call him, and I say bearded doctor because about two, three blocks or so across downtown is where the Walker Welburn Sanatorium used to be. And then on top of that, before it was a sanatorium, it was the official, when I say the official, it was the official recorded Evansville Cemetery, or as they called it back then, the Silent City of the Dead. So that is where the big sanatorium was, and that's why I call him the Bearded Doctor. Because his outfit and stuff, it just strikes me as being a doctor's outfit. And also that not too far away, we have a sanatorium, or had a sanatorium, I apologize.
Yeah, it looked like that in the pictures that he was, I don't want to say clinging to your sister.
Yeah, you can just tell he's like lurking, but he's watching for my sister. And here's the weird thing. If you look, I'll send you a picture of my sister. But if you look at the picture of my sister and the little girl, I call her a little girl. She might be a teenager or a young lady. I don't know. But the girl in the photo across the main street outside the Ford Center, across the main street, looks a lot like my sister.
Wow.
And real quick, can I make a note to the audience that if you look at that photo, the pinned tweet, the one with the bearded doctor, I call her the little girl, and the dark entity across the main street. If you look directly between the dark entity and the bearded doctor, there is a, how do I say this without offending people? Okay, there is a large-breasted woman there right behind the bearded doctor. But yes, you can see it directly between the dark entity and right next to the bearded doctor. You can see a what appears to be a ghost of a woman with large breasts. And there's also, if you look to the back of the photo, I say there's more here than you'll ever know. We'll save this topic for another day, but there is a lot more than you'll ever know to downtown Evansville. And if you look back toward what is the Civic Center, if you look that inset part, it's like the big square part that's kind of offset toward the back of the Civic Center. If you'll notice, look at when you're facing the photo, looking straight at it, at the top left-hand corner, it appears to be a large black bird, pterodactyl. I'm 100% sure it's not Mothman, but it's a large winged creature coming right out of the top left-hand corner of the inset part of that Civic Center complex.
Wow.
Yeah, Evansville has a lot more than people ever realize.
Section 7, Twitter, hashtag, the haunted wedding reception, hashtag, the uninvited groomsman, hashtag, guardian wedding dog.
Let's get on the next photo where you're looking at is...
Yes, sir.
Wedding photos. There's one with the dog.
Oh, yeah, 35 millimeters.
Yeah, these were interesting. The dog on the woman's lap and a skull with spirits coming out.
Okay, is that the one that I call the uninvited groom?
Right, the uninvited guest or the uninvited guest or...
Yeah, I call the uninvited groomsman because if you look at the picture, you'll see all the groomsmen sitting at the table.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But looking directly to the left, I guess... The person, I circled it. It appears to be a skeleton wearing one of those old-time, like, festival hats with the brim.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for not knowing what that's called, but it's a brimmed hat, like a festival hat or a committee, like a, what strikes me is like an old, not to be political, but like old Democrat Party or Republican Party hat. With the big rim.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, one of those hats. But yes, you can see the skeleton sitting at that table directly to the left of the gentleman, I guess, in the center.
So the audience can look at these photos and see the hat and the photos of the groomsmen.
Yes. But yeah, they're excellent. Just amazing.
Section 8. Twitter, hashtag, the flying skulls.
And getting to the next photo with the flying skulls. You want to explain that one?
Oh, yes, the flying skull, man. That's the thing that changed everything forever. I was trying to find the best way to write that tweet, but pretty much Willard Library they shut down at a certain time every evening, and they have an alarm company. Pretty much the lights are out. They set the alarm, and you can't get in. I mean, if you open a window or open a door, I guess, knock too loud, you're going to get turned in. The cops will show up. And at the time that picture was taken, I was starting to get really into the hobby. This was just, at the time, pre-March 10th, 2010, which was 3/10/2010. I was just kind of, you know, hey, I didn't really care a whole lot. You know, I was doing stuff to go ahead and try and, you know, do a book. But as time went on, it just became more and more prevalent, you know, that I have something special. And if you look, like I said, going up to the skulls, going up to the open window, it's impossible. I talked to a lady, can't remember her name, but she was a long-term employee at a World Library and couldn't ever figure it out. No one ever knew, but that worked out best for me.
So that led you to writing the book.
Yes, that was the day. Actually, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to mention her name. Keep it top secret, just, you know, out of courtesy of respect. But the funny thing is, you know, I was doing this book back then, you know, I was in love with this girl who worked at a local pharmacy who shall be unnamed. And I would actually go out and freeze my butt off all night at Willard Library just to try and get a good picture for her. At one point, this was all out of love for a girl I was in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, nothing ever happened. But, hey, you know, She's so a great girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the audience is going to really enjoy some of these photos. Plus, there's a whole lot more to be added to your book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I tell you what, I'm going to work on this week getting the much coveted, all the cassettes, micro cassettes, put onto disc, and we can go ahead and make another go at it, and I will go ahead and blow away the rest of your audience.
Alrighty.
But yeah, I want to go ahead and, you know, make sure, you know, I want to take this next level, and, you know, it's going to be great. There's a point to all this book. This book's going to help people, you know. I already got a, like, an after plan. There's a better plan, you know. I'm going to do what I can, and people are going to be helped, and I'm going to change the course of history.
That's great.
I don't know if you kind of got what I'm getting at when I say it's coming next, but when I say beyond the paranormal,
mm-hmm.
and I have photos to prove everything, I kind of hope you kind of get what I'm getting at when I say that.
I do, yeah.
It's unprecedented. I mean, it's going to be mind-blowing.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Yes, thank you. Dude, I appreciate it so much. After the ultimate final disclosures come out, I hope that we can do another podcast together. Man, this is great.
It was great having Joseph A. Market on the show today. I hope you do go to the Twitter hashtags. They're located at the bottom of this episode. You can go to Twitter or Facebook. You can look at these photos as Joe is explaining each segment. It was really, really interesting and mind-blowing. When his book comes out in 2020, we will have him back on the show. There are so many other photos to share. And also, please leave a comment or a rating on iTunes on the Ghosts in the Valley podcast. I do appreciate it. And also, you can leave your comments at cooley54@gmail.com. I am accepting stories and future topics for next year. It's going to be a very, very exciting year. Thank you all for listening. I do appreciate it. I will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode of Ghosts in the Valley.